Hello and welcome to the Love Being Me course, which I'm recording for you on a hilltop somewhere in Croatia, and I'm taking some time for myself. And one of the points of this course is for you to find ways to take time for yourself, and goodness knows how difficult that can be, even on a hilltop in Croatia. You know what it's like when you're on holiday with kids. We're going to really start off by exploring what the course is and what it isn't, and how you can set up time and space for you to do this at the best. So, this course isn't therapy. I can't therapy you because we're not in the same room together. I can't coach you in the way that I would if we were working one-to-one, which of course you're welcome to do, but this is for you to coach yourself. I'm going to ask you some questions, and if you look at the PDFs, there's a little person who's got a theory, and so I will share some theories with you. Some are mine, some are not mine, and if they're not mine, I'll tell you whose they are, so you can go and find out more about them if you want to. There's then some questions for you to think about, answer, play with, ignore. Honestly, it's up to you how you do that. And then there's doing, and that might be a task or it might be changing a behaviour. And obviously this isn't school, so you do the bits that work for you. And the great thing about the course is that you get to keep it so you can come back to it. And there might be other times in your life where you think, oh, I do want to do that now. I didn't want to do it before. So the key thing is this course is flexible for you. You've got the materials, so come back to it when you want to. It's getting sent out to you at regular intervals, but that doesn't mean you have to follow it at regular intervals. My experience is that it works best if there is a sense of commitment and kind of impetus to it, that if you're working with it in your mind, then it works subconsciously even when you're not sitting listening. So, and if the gap's too big, you kind of forget about it and other things take over. But again, do what works for you, because the whole point of this course is you doing what works for you in a way that works for you. And what's really important as well is how you work at this course. Now, there's different types of people who learn in different ways. So some people really like to chat about things. And so if you're one of those people, you might want to take a chunk of this and share it with a friend, talk to a friend about it. It would be great if the friend wanted to buy into it too, because obviously the materials are copyrighted, but that doesn't stop you saying, hey, this is what I've thought about, what do you think about this, how does it work for you? So do that, talk to people, share what you're learning. It's all good learning. Share what you're questioning. You know, there might even be bits of it that you think are rubbish, so share them, but also share them with me so I can change or explain what I mean if I haven't explained it clearly enough. So if you're one of the people that likes to talk about it, make sure you've got people that are supportive. Do not talk to people in your life who are going to put you down and ridicule you about this. So choose carefully. Choose the people who are going to want to see the best for you in your life and who are really going to honour your growth and development. And that won't be everyone, because some people might find it challenging, some people might not be interested, some people might not have the time. So choose carefully. Choose who are the people that you would like to know that you're doing this course. And you might want to press pause just now and make a note of people that you think might be supportive and interested. And the equally important list might be the people who are not supportive and interested, who you're definitely not going to talk to about it. So you might want to press pause and do that now. The other thing that you might want to think about is if you're not a chatty type of person, but you like to make notes, and usually we're a mixture of all these learning styles. Some people are really visual and they like to make notes, and they might like to doodle. You might like to take pictures of things. You might like to use gel pens and felt tip pens. So when are you going to get them? Have you got them? Do you need to steal them off your children? Do you need to go to Boots and treat yourself to glitter pens and lovely crisp writing paper or pens and pencils? So what materials, if you really like that creative side of stuff, if you think back to when you were a child, what sort of things did you like working with then? Were you a paint person or a glue person, glitter, plasticine, clay, pencil? Really think back. So again, if you want to press pause and just think, oh, what was I like as a child before life got so busy? What were the things that you could find me playing with on a wet Sunday afternoon? And then go find some. So if you want to press pause and think about what would I like and when am I going to get them, then just do that now. And if not, some people are quite kinesthetic. And what that means is that you learn by doing stuff. And I strongly suggest that all of you do stuff. So that might be that you have to experiment with some of the ideas. You have to see them in practice before they make sense. That you have to try out a new behaviour or a new way of communicating before you can kind of read the theory and make sense of it. And that's fine too. And generally, we're all a mix of all of these ways of learning. So just think about, am I someone that wants to talk to people? Am I someone that wants to make beautiful things? Am I someone that wants to leap straight in and get stuff going and do stuff and try stuff out? In which case, really honour that way of working. And one of the kind of crucial things for honouring that is actually making sure that you're doing this course in the right time and the right space. So if you're someone that likes lots of visual stuff and you want glitter and gel pens and plasticine, then where is a great place for you to do that? And do you want to be doing it on the kitchen table while you're also trying to get the tea ready, or on the train on the way to work? It's probably not going to work with glitter and glue. So where is going to be a space that's private and protected that you can really just focus on yourself? Is that going to be at home? Is it that during your lunch break you're going to find a spot quietly? How can you find a space where you can get creative and get thinking and get really focusing inwards on what you want in a way that makes you happy? Could be outside, could be sitting in the car. I have some clients that do this stuff sitting in the car because it's their private space. And equally important is, where are you going to keep your notes? Because confidentiality is really important. If you want to share this stuff, that's great, but you certainly don't want people, I'm imagining, looking at it without your permission. And that's about boundary setting. And that's one of the things we're really going to be looking at here, is you're entitled to share this with whoever you want to share it with. And equally, you're entitled to keep it completely and utterly private. So how can you do that? So again, if you want to press pause and have a think about how I could find the right space to do this work in. Linked in with space is a space to listen. So sometimes you might find yourself listening to this as you're driving, and for a lot of people that would be a great space because it will be quiet, uninterrupted, maybe just you in the car. Or do you almost want to treat this as a bit of a ceremony where you get maybe light a candle, pick some fresh flowers, make yourself a nice drink, and want to sit quietly by a lit fire so that this feels like a special time? So have a think about, when is the best time for you to do this? Is it likely that you're best able to reflect in the mornings before everybody gets up, or in the afternoons when you get home, or is it when everybody else has gone to bed that you feel you can best concentrate on yourself and devote some self-care and some self-time? So again, stop if you need to and make a note. And these are kind of promises to yourself, honouring your participation on this course. Because actually, if it was an evening class like we used to do in the olden days, then you'd be out for 2 hours a night. On a Tuesday, I used to do pottery on a Tuesday, and that was it. I'd be out. So it's that equivalent, isn't it, of creating a space for you that is yours without interruption. How can you do that? Lots of questions and lots of practical things. And for the people that like to get on with it, they might be thinking, oh, this is not it. This is absolutely it. Because the people that come on this course are people who have forgotten to say, what do I need? Have you forgotten to say, what do I need? And maybe if you know you need stuff, you're not that great at kind of organising it. So let's get it organised right from the beginning of this course. You deserve time to yourself that's uninterrupted. unless there's a crisis, which is a beautiful place to work, which is safe and confidential for you to work in. Have you had a think? And finally, just for this first chunk, how are you going to make sure you get what you want from this course? So I'm going to invite you to be really naughty and to not do what you might have had to do in school or when you were reading at home, but to actually don't feel that you have to go through the whole thing. Obviously, it's being sent out to you in chunks, but within the chunk, pick the chunks that make the best sense for you. There is no requirement for you to do all of it. And if you want to dip in, the different, although the course does build up, so one idea builds on another, that isn't to say that you couldn't just pick an idea and talk about that and think about that on its own. So one of my invitations is to ask you how you want to do this. What's the best way for you to do it? How might you sabotage this? You've spent some money on this course, so you've invested in yourself. Hooray, well done. But how could you mess up now? So some of the ways that I've sabotaged in the past is I've signed up for courses and they're not shown up. And I've not shown up because sometimes, you know, I've been ill, other people have been ill, work's got too much, in inverted commas. Now, I look back, particularly on one course that I didn't show up for because work was too much. And actually, that was the very reason I should have done that course, because the very fact that work was taking over my life was the issue. And as you know, if you've read the book, that was the kind of critical turning point where just everything became too much. So what are the sorts of excuses you might make to yourself? And they're probably habitual ones. And maybe about looking after other people or meeting obligations and duties. What are the sort of excuses you might make to not do this, or to forget about it, or to not prioritise it? So have a little think there. And often we do that stuff because you've obviously thought, yes, this is me. I want to invest in myself. I want to develop myself personally. And sometimes there's kind of fear around that too. A fear of, well, what if it doesn't work? What if I can't make the changes? What if the changes are too difficult? What if they affect other people? What are the worst fears that you might have about doing this course? What are the worst things that could happen? Because if we could just name some of those fears now, then they're out in the open and you can see them for what they are, and you can have a look at them and think, well, is that true? Is it really true that it might end my marriage, or I might be forced to leave the country and get a new job? You know, it's unlikely, because you're in control of those decisions. This course isn't going to force you into anything you don't want to do. So just take some time and make a list of all the things that you're frightened of about change. What is it that has in the past and might now stop you making changes? So just take a minute to think, or to find someone to chat to this about, or to make notes about. Okay, so hopefully you've had a look at some of those fears, and some of the fears may have some reality and some may not. But the truth with all of them is that you're in control, and we'll talk when we're on the course about stress and how we stress ourselves in our head. That isn't to say there are not stressful situations, but right now I want you to just look at your fears and think, which of those are actual and which of those are imagined, or which of those are potential, but actually, you know, I'm in control of them. So just have a look at your list and see which of those are real, which of those are manageable, and which of them are not true at all. And then let's turn it around now and think, you bought this course, hooray, you are investing in yourself, brilliant. Now, what do you really want? What do you really want to be different by the end of this course? How will you know that you've got your money's worth? What will your life be like? How will you be different as the end of it approaches? How will you know it was worth the money? So take a minute just to think about those questions. Now, of course, a really easy thing to do would be to go, oh, the course was crap. And of course, that's possible, isn't it? However, my guess is that we say that often about things when we haven't invested in them or we haven't trusted ourselves with them. So, you know, I remember thinking that my German A-level result was not very good. And I kind of reflect and I think, well, that was actually because I didn't learn my verb endings and I didn't learn my masculine and feminines and neuters. And I didn't because it was a drag. I liked talking and I liked reading the books, but all those technical things are not me. So just think about what you really want and how you're going to get it. And if there's some bits of the course that are dull, that are not you, then are you going to take responsibility and skip those bits? Or if I suggest a way of approaching them and then you think, no, that's not me, that's not how I do it, then actually, good, you take responsibility and you do it in a way that works for you. Because I can't possibly say this in language that everybody likes all of the time, but you can hear and you can change and you can make this work for you. So what is it that would mean? Just take again a few minutes to jot down some ideas about, wow, if I get to the end of this course and this is different or this is different or this is different, then it will have been worth it. Now keep it realistic, ladies and gentlemen. Clearly, if you're driving a moped and part of your dream is a Lamborghini, I'm not sure that I can promise that this course will do that. However, if a Lamborghini is your dream, then we can certainly start you thinking about how you're going to get that. So just again, finally, think about what is it that you really want? Why have you signed up for this course? How will you know that you've succeeded? And make a note, have a chat. Another great thing to do here is to actually cut out pictures of people that you think, oh, this is what I'd like to look like, smiling people or happy people that you think this is how I'd like. So if you're really visual, think about images that you might want to draw that represent how your life is different now. Okay. So that's the first chunk. Now that's called contracting. Contracting is a transactional analysis term, and I used to hate it when I was learning it because I used to think, oh, why are we spending all this time contracting? I just want to get on with it. And what I've learnt over the years working in groups and with individuals is that the work is in the contract. If we don't get the contract right, and in your case, it's your contract with you, if we don't get this bit right, if we're not really clear about what you want, how you're going to get it, how you might stop yourself getting it, who you want to be involved, who you don't want to be involved, where you're going to do it and when you're going to do it and your commitment to do it. If we don't get these bits right at the beginning, then actually we're not standing on steady ground. And so this is one of the theory chunks that you'll come across in the course about contracting. And I invite you to play with it in other areas of your life. So for example, I've used it with my family. About holidays, we went on a holiday that didn't work at all, one of those where you come back more exhausted than when you went. And so we sat down afterwards and just really involved the children and said, well, what does a good holiday look like to you? What don't you want? What do you want? How can we do that? And obviously we've got such an age range in the family that finding one size that fitted all wasn't possible, but just identifying what we did want and what we didn't want meant that we can get that more right in the future. So that's an example of how you can use contracting. The other way, clearly, is at work. So if someone says, oh, can you just do this by Friday? And it's not on your job description, then I know this is really hard, but as someone that has been busted by stress at work, just that question about, okay, so you'd like me to have that done by Friday. What does done mean? And you know, I've got all these other things to do. Which of these things shall I make less of a priority in order to get this one done by Friday? And who am I reporting it to? And does it need to be in draft form? Is it just in neat? You know, is it neat or can I just give you the first draft? Because the more clear you are about your expectations with you and other people, the better it is, the easier it is for everybody, because you're not going to disappoint each other. Or you imagine if that deadline was Friday and you'd put together this complete spiral bound report that had been proofread, that you'd been up for three nights doing, and actually the person you handed it into said, oh, that was just a draft, you didn't need to go to all that effort. So getting the contract straight at the beginning of anything, with any relationships, I've done it in relationships too. What do we expect here? Are we going to be faithful? Are we going to be honest? Is this monogamous? You know, are you aware that I've got children? What does that mean for you? What's the deal? What's the deal with the contract? And I know that sounds really, oh, who would want to go out with someone like that? But actually, you know, getting those sorts of things up front clearly as soon as possible really, really avoids heartache. So contracting is a bit of theory. It's from transactional analysis. You've had a whole series of things to think about for this first chunk. So I'm going to end here, but just go back to those questions, get the time, the place, the way in which you want to learn, who you want to be involved with you, what you're going to commit, where you're going to do that, and how you're going to make sure that you really, really know that you've got your money's worth at the end of this course. And that's it for now. It's starting to rain here, so I'm going to move on in, and I'll catch you next time. Bye.